W4NGU.
UW4DJW.
You got plenty of time. My ETA is noon, and I'll wait on you. My ETA is noon.
8 miles to go on 85 before I turn off of 85. So I don't know how many minutes it'll be from them. Let me see what... Oh, it says my ETA is at 12:01. What time is it now?
Approximately 11:40. Are you going to get on 29 off 85?
Minute apart then, unless I get stuck out here in a parking lot.
Off on 85 to hit 29. I guess you're coming north.
Affirmative, I am. I just went under the 385 bridge on 85.
Get there about the same time. I'll let you know when I get to 29. What's your latest project? What are you working on these days?
Hydrogen electric hybrid truck. Hydrogen, that's a mouthful, isn't it? It's a hydrogen truck that can run off electricity or hydrogen. It's a... what do they call it, a hybrid. It'll run off either or both. And I've got to collect the data on the CAN buses and send it up through the cloud to a dashboard where they can watch a fleet of 1,000 trucks.
My microphone. Well, is that, is this something you're going to drive or you're just developing the system?
Company, and I'm one of eight that is going to be on that company. That and I, my task is data collection from the trucks themselves. So I got some hardware that I can use to read the CAN buses on the trucks, and then ESP32. I don't know if you're aware or if you're familiar with the ESP32, but it's kind of like an Arduino. It's a microprocessor that does Wi-Fi. So it can connect to the Wi-Fi in the truck and upload the data that I collect off the CAN buses to the cloud.
Cool. And you say you're a partner in the company and the startup, or are you just doing the data stuff?
The architect, one of the architects I used to work with at Bank of America is the CEO, and he called me and asked me if I would be a team member, one of eight on the team. So I don't know exactly what that means. Kickoff meeting starts at the end of January.
Exciting. You'll have to tell us more about that at lunch.
About that, I just wrapped up the pre-amplifier job. That turned out to be really good, successful. They were really happy, and I was really happy. So can't get better than that. And then I got about a month breather before I start the next one. I'm enjoying retirement. The only thing that could make it better is if I got more flying time.
Talented not to be using those skills, at least part-time, just to keep you sharp and a little fun money, a little ham money coming in, or maybe a whole lot more. I got a friend that retired from music ministry at a church, and he was just too valuable to get a job at Lowe's or something, and he got a job at a small church, and I was real glad for him. So you need something to keep you going.
And it's, you know, it's not necessary, so it's not like when you were working before you retired, when it was absolutely necessary. I didn't realize how unnecessary all of that work really was. I could have done this 6 years ago.
And I'm not there yet. I got 357 more days. But, okay, why is everybody getting in the left lane? I don't know. But anyway, they tell me things don't get on your nerves near as bad if you don't have to be working.
Absolutely true. I enjoyed my work when I was working because it was stuff that I liked to do, but there's this always in the background, you got to get it done by this date, right? That was annoying as could be. I wanted to do it right. I didn't want to do it on time. I wanted to do it right. Well, the business wants you to do it on time, and they want it right. So, but when you're doing it on your own, I mean, that's not as much of a driving factor. I really thoroughly enjoyed that preamp thing, and I'm hoping that this truck thing will be equally as fun.
I am exiting 85 on the 29. How close are you?
The 9 at, is this 14 or 101? One of the I think it's 101.
66 on 85. You're good ways from me then.
The GSP. I'm going. There's an airplane overhead. It just took off over my head.
Well, there's nothing like having connections, is there?
These connections, they just kind of dropped in my lap. I don't know why. You know, somebody just called. One of the other developers called me up about the Vanderstein thing because he had one of their amps and he knew they needed a programmer. And that really, I mean, he was just a programmer that I programmed with, you know, back in the year 2000. And this other guy was an architect that I used to do architecture at Bank of America too, and he was one of a fellow architects that decided, I don't know how he got those connections, but he just called me out of the blue. He had no idea I was retired. It's not like I've got a whole lot of connections. It's just like things just kind of happen, you know?
Things go. I do call those connections. I knew a guy that worked at North Greenville for years after he retired from Bank of America, and he was over their databases. I don't think he was into the programming like you were, but anyway, did you happen to know a guy named Paul Garrett?
I'm familiar. I was in middleware, and so I talked to all the front-end systems, you know, customer-facing front-end systems and tellers and all that stuff, and connected them to all of the back-end systems of record, which was databases, right? So, yeah, that name sounds familiar, but, you know, there's thousands and thousands. There's like 20 or 30,000 people that work at Bank of America. On the Highway 80, headed over toward Wade Hampton.
I got a phone call.
Mobile.
Dave, Steve is already there. He said, what do you want me to order you? I said, I'm going to wait on me and when Dave gets there, he and I will order. And he said, great, man. So we're going to have seven. One, two, three, four of them are hams.
Eastside graduates.
That's who it is, and I don't know who's there.
Hams and Eastside graduates? Well, four of them are hams and all of them are Eastside graduates?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew Steve Baronkin. He worked at Michelin and retired from there, and he's just gotten his ticket, I think, within the last year or two. He's pretty new. And then me, you, and Steve. And then another guy in the group says, get me a book. I want to get in on that. So we're dragging them in, whether they like it or not.
Dragging them into ham radio? Well, good. That's wonderful. That's not an easy thing to do. I've tried doing that myself with limited success.
And over the years that people's eyes either glaze over or they're all over it. I mean, you just it's hard to interest somebody in your hobby unless it presses a button with them.
And all that stuff that ARRL sent out, I read it, all of it, went through all of it, about the Roanoke Division. Did you, I guess everybody got that email, and did you go through all that data about the churn that they've got going on there?
No, tell me that whole issue. I've heard some talk about it.
There are people that are, truck just changed lanes in front of me. I had to put on brakes. I got to pay attention to what I'm doing, too. I got to recall all of that. There are some things that came out about the FCC changes that came out, and there are ways that the structure within the ARRL is being impacted. And then there are a lot of rumors about the ARRL being protective about the information. Well, this guy, I mean, any organization has to be, they can't just be put loose and fancy free with everything that's going on. They have to pay attention to rules. There's rules about what you can do and what you can't do with information about a large company like that. And they're respecting those rules, but there's other people that are out there just making stuff up that has nothing to do with reality about the ARRL. And now it's all coming back to them. So he set the record straight about what he can tell everybody and what he cannot tell everybody. and when he'll be able to tell them, you know, there are dates that, that have to pass. There are things that happen in court that you just can't leak out. I mean, it's against the law. They could get in trouble for doing that. And so he's just, he's filling everybody in. I don't remember all the details off the top of my head, but I went through all of it, and it seems like he's being up front, and there's a bunch of other people that are just spreading rumors.
And the ARRL is in court for some reason?
That are being made, and there are some changes that they can be upfront and open about, and they are being that way, and there are some changes that they cannot. They didn't say why or who, but, you know, they're consulting with attorneys, so you're thinking, yeah, there must be something like that going on, yeah.
How much it would affect us on a day-to-day basis?
Things that he mentioned that is impacting us is paper and printing. Printing on paper is skyrocketing, and they've been absorbing and absorbing and absorbing, and they can't absorb it anymore. They're saying, and I think you probably saw the same thing too, I did when I renewed, is you can pay $25 extra a year and you can get the QSC magazine in paper format, or you can just switch to digital and it's still free. But they can't give you the paper one free anymore. They just can't. It's just cost too much, and I don't blame them for that. I don't hold that against them. I understand how that works, but there's evidently a lot of people that just goes over the top of their head.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. We'll have to see how that turns out. I just turned off of Wade Hampton onto Gap Creek Road headed north.
Then you're behind me because I just turned off the road I was on Gap Creek headed north, and I am north of Wade Hampton already, so you must be behind me.
Yeah, well, there'll still be some food there when I get there, hopefully.
I'm 5 miles away from my destination. I guess I was speeding a little bit.
I'm 2 miles away. At this place, there were no parking places.
I take it. I've been up and down this road a lot, and it looks like it appears like it's right off of this road, off of Gap Creek.
I don't remember if it's on it or at the intersection of a side road, but it sounds like we're near
Gap Creek, too. I haven't been down here in a while. This is a nice, smooth road now. It used to be chock full of potholes.
A lot with all the red mud where they've been grading on the right.
Road over my house too. Evidently, they're focusing on roads now in upstate South Carolina. This is really nice. These nice new, clean, smooth roads.
They just got it done, Dave and Gerald here.
I'm turning up here at the red light, the little cricket. I'm turning right. It's telling me to. I hope I'm going the right direction.
Yeah, I'm turning there. Well, I'm turning at the marathon. Yeah, the little cricket. What car are you driving, Dave? The black one or the gray truck?
Black one with antenna on the trunk. I'm going around in front of that Mink Creek subdivision, Mink Creek Estates.
Yeah, well, I'm 2 cars back in the blue car. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I just wonder what restaurant someday we might go out there. Where are you headed to?
It's a Mexican Los Mayas. It's real good. Good food and good prices. And it's at 1304 South Highway 357. It's not the Los Mayos at Lake Robinson. Here we are, Dave.
At room only in the parking lot.
Oh, enjoy your meal. In Gerald, TR 73.
See ya. W4, never give up. Clear.